Grammy Award-winning Terrence Simeon and the Zydeco Experience plays live at Stocker Arts Center for Lorain County's Final Fate of Mardi Gras. Sponsored by Lorain County Community College, Lorain County Commissioners, and Visit Lorain County. Go to visitlorainecounty.com/Mardi Gras. March is National Developmental Disabilities Awareness Month, and Murray Ridge Center is pleased to recognize the many contributions that individuals with developmental disabilities make in our community. Murray Ridge Center, helping people for a lifetime.
Columbia Gas wants you to know the ground rules. If you smell the rotten egg odor of natural gas, stop what you're doing, leave the area immediately, and call 911 and Columbia Gas. For more ground rules like these, visit columbiagasohio.com/staysafe.
Chris Broussard from The Odd Couple here. Rob, do you remember when you got your first big screen TV?
Yes, I do. It was 55 inches and weighed about 100 pounds.
Even still, it made watching games about 1,000 times better, right?
No doubt about it. There's just no going back after you've seen the incredible highlight in high definition.
It's kind of like the first time I watched TV on Hulu. Tons of shows and movies, exclusive originals, plus live TV for sports.
Live TV for sports?
That's right. Hulu is so good, it will ruin TV for you forever.
It's Friday, it's Friday, we're so glad it's Friday.
Bullseye on weather on AM 930, clearing skies overnight with a low near 23. Rain by Saturday afternoon with a high near 47.
Sunny now, it's 31.
It's Bullseye on the afternoon with Andy Bull Barch and Matt Douglas.
They like jet airplanes, they like long limousines, they like fine clothes.
On AM 930 WEOL.
14 minutes separate us from 4 o'clock. It's Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bullbarch joined alongside Matt Douglas. You have us until 6, and then it's time for the Cobos Insurance Center High School Wrestling Recap presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. Time for us to head to the hotline and bring in the first guest of today's show, Adam Burke with BangTheBook.com and Bang The Book Radio. Adam, as always, my friend, a pleasure to have you on the show. How are you this afternoon?
Doing well, Andy. How about you, man?
So far, so good. And I know you're just as excited as I am that we are less than 3 weeks away from the start of the Major League Baseball season. You have been extraordinarily busy. And for those who haven't checked it out yet, make sure you check out the snippets of Adam's handicapping preview on every single division in Major League Baseball. You can check it out at bangthebook.com. I want to get into what you detailed with the American League Central Division. And I thought that your verbiage was actually fantastic when describing this division. There are some that are just buying into these media reports that maybe, just maybe, the Minnesota Twins could threaten the Indians in some form or fashion, but you detail that the odds makers clearly disagree with those who think that the Twins could in any way, shape, or form take the throne from the Tribe this year. They clearly don't see anybody but the Indians winning this division. Explain that. Explain how the percentages and the odds show that those who do this for a living see virtually no way the Indians could lose this division.
Well, when you look at what's going on right now, the Indians are a minus 400 favorite, which would mean you'd have to bet $400 to win $100. That implies about an 80% probability that the Indians win the American League Central. I think that's probably fair, quite frankly, when you consider that, you know, they offensively, they are so top-heavy with Francisco Lindor and Jose Ramirez. If something happens to one of those two, and of course we'll knock on wood for that, you know, that makes this division race a little bit more interesting, but you know, the Indians have so much depth in the starting rotation. I think they can cobble something together in the bullpen that'll work out. And look, I mean, this is a team that won this division by 13 games last year. And if you look at some of the alternative standings metrics that are out there, Pythagorean win-loss, which is a standings metric based on run differential, they won the division by 21 games there. They won the division by 20 games according to base runs, which is another alternate standings metric, by 23 games per third-order win percentage, which is another standings metric that's relative to the strength of schedule that you played. So the division wasn't even that close last year. And while the Twins are their chief concern in this division, you know, the Twins are going in a very interesting direction. I mean, they hired a 35-year-old manager in Rocco Baldelli, who's younger than designated hitter Nelson Cruz. They hired a pitching coach straight out of college baseball who's never coached pro ball before. And I love that they're taking chances. I love that they're being aggressive, that they've bought into analytics. But I think this is kind of a transitional year for the Twins. Next year is where I think the Indians could be more vulnerable.
Yeah, it's fascinating, and I'm with you on this being a transitional year for the Twins. I think it does speak volumes about the lack of depth in the division in that if that's the team that's expected to finish in second and this is kind of a transitional year, I think that says more about the White Sox, the Tigers, and the Royals, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you look at Chicago, you know, Rick Hahn tried. I mean, he tried to rebuild this team. Unfortunately for him, you know, Carlos Rodon can't stay healthy. Lucas Giolito's been a bust as a prospect. Now Michael Kopech's had to have Tommy John surgery. But they've got a good system. They've got some guys that are coming probably 2021, 2022, and they really have a big impact outside of Eloy Jimenez. But, you know, the Tigers are, I mean, they've been cash strapped for the last few years by some bad contracts. And, you know, the Royals, I mean, they had their run. They sold their soul to the devil, won their World Series, and now they're in rebuilding mode.
Yeah. And I mean, look, things have gotten awfully bad for the Royals over the last few weeks here. Salvador Perez now, of course, he's going to be gone for what looks like the entire season as well. So, I mean, it's gotten pretty awful for the Royals. But again, I think that certainly speaks volumes about the lack of depth in the division. Adam, you also kind of detailed the futures odds for the American League and National League pennant. For those who aren't necessarily familiar with how that process works, explain the AL and NL pennant futures odds.
So essentially what the sportsbooks do is they have a theoretical hold percentage in mind. So they're going to structure the odds in a way that puts them, you know, some places are around 30% of what, you know, they want to hold from a theoretical standpoint in the futures market. Other places are around 25%. So then they'll plug that into a calculator and they'll start setting odds for these teams. And you've got the Yankees, a plus 275 favorite, Boston and Houston, both plus 300, the Indians plus 700, Oakland plus 1,400, Tampa Bay plus 1,600. And by plus 1,600, I just mean 16-1, 14-1, 7-1, et cetera. You know, the thing that's interesting about the odds to win the American League to me is you've got Boston and New York at the top, plus 275 and plus 300 respectively. One of those teams is going to have to play in the wild card game. And while they're going to be a big favorite in that wild card game, anything can happen. Absolutely anything can happen. And furthermore, you have to burn a frontline starter usually, whether that'll be Chris Sale, Luis Severino, Masahiro Tanaka, Rick Porcel. We don't really know who is going to line up there, but one of those two teams is going to be at a disadvantage going into the division series. So I think Houston and Cleveland are, quite frankly, the two best bets on the board. Houston's going to win the American League West. They're about the same favorite price to win their division as the Indians are to win the Central. And the Indians, look, they're an underdog to Boston, New York, or Houston in both the ALDS and the ALCS if they got there. But they're going to get there. They're going to win this division. And one of the nice things about betting a 7-1 futures price, you have the opportunity to hedge when the Indians get to that point, which means bet back on the other side, guarantee yourself some profit. Like the Indians, you know, from a futures standpoint, are actually a good investment just because they'll make it to the playoffs and they're almost assured not to play in that wild card game.
Which is huge, as you detailed, because if you play in that wild card game, not only are you burning a frontline starter, but you're also going to stretch out one of your relievers as well. You may have to stretch out a couple of relievers, depending on the length of the game as well. So it's always fascinating to read these. And you know, we detailed the AL there. What about the National League pennant futures odds?
Yeah, the National League, you've got the Dodgers, the favorite. They're 4-1. Philadelphia Phillies, of course, getting Bryce Harper, as I believe we talked about last week. They're plus 450. The Cubs are 7-1. The Cardinals plus 750. Braves and Nationals 8-1. The Brewers, who were, you know, one game away from winning the NL pennant last year, at 10-1. The Dodgers, again, like the Indians and the Astros, have the big advantage in that they're not going to have to fight for this division title. They should win it pretty free and clear. Whereas in the East and the Central in the National League, I mean, there's four very good teams in the East. Five, you know, I'd say two or three really good teams in the Central. Five teams that are all competent in the Central. So I think the Dodgers have a big advantage, which is why they're the rightful favorites. I actually still like Washington in the East, you know, at 8-1. I think that's a decent price. And I like Milwaukee in the Central at 10-1. I don't think enough people respect what the Brewers have done from an analytics standpoint to maximize what looks like an average starting rotation. And of course, they have that elite bullpen as well.
That's why I love Milwaukee at 10-1, as you just detailed. They've got a bullpen that is just incredible, and the rotation's good enough. But really, they haven't lost much from last year. And as you stated, they were a game away from getting to the World Series. So I love the Brewers at 10-1. Adam Burke, Bang the Book Radio and bangthebook.com, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. You also detailed AL and NL MVP odds as well. So in the American League, I guess the biggest question at this point is, who has the best chance to push Mike Trout?
I mean, the amazing thing is that they should probably just rename this thing the Mike Trout Award, but he's only won it twice. And in fact, I believe he's never won an American League Player of the Month Award, which is astonishing. Because I mean, he's the best player in baseball, but last year Mookie Betts won the MVP. He's the second favorite on the board at 4-1. Mike Trout's about +250 to do it. You know, there's really not a whole lot of equity in taking low prices from an individual player standpoint in the futures market, because if they get hurt, you just wound up putting money out there for 7 months for a pretty meager return. So I looked a little bit down the board here on the 18-1 range, looking at Alex Bregman from the Astros. You know, Bregman plays good defense at a tough position, hit 30 homers last year, drove in 100 runs. He's in a very good lineup. So he checks all the boxes for the people that believe in the old school counting numbers. And then also, he checks a lot of boxes in the analytics community as well. He walks a ton. His swinging strike rate last year was only 4.2%. He started to pull the ball more in the second half. He's a guy that I really, really like this season. And you know, I think that he's a guy that will kind of position himself as one of the top five players in baseball this year. And also Jose Ramirez. I mean, Jose Ramirez last year, over his first 132 games, 288 average, 400 on base, 597 slugging. He'd hit 37 home runs, and then in September, he totally cratered. And he was a guy that would have pushed for this award last year. Maybe they get him some more days off. Maybe he's just in, you know, better physical shape for the grind this year. But I think Jose Ramirez at 20-1 is completely worth some investment as well. He could be the first guy with 40 homers and 30 stolen bases since Ryan Braun in 2012. I think you have to get some respect for doing something like that.
Absolutely. And boy, you can't help but wonder if he had played a little bit better the final 2 months of last season, if he could have touched those numbers last year as well. All right, Adam, we'll save some of the March Madness stuff for next week, as all the big conferences will get into their conference tournaments next week. But we'll finish with this. You know, earlier today, you and I had a discussion. Bryce Harper or Nolan Arenado as the NL MVP, and you promptly responded, neither. So state your case.
Well, again, it's one of those things where it's really tough to take a guy in the 7-1 range from an MVP standpoint, especially somebody like Bryce Harper, who has had some injuries, has got a lot of inconsistency in his stat lines and in his wins above replacement over the last few years. Nolan Arenado obviously has a great shot. I mean, he's a phenomenal defensive third baseman, plays in a park that's really good for offense. Also, I think that hurts him a little bit, and we've seen this with the Hall of Fame candidacy of somebody like Larry Walker. A lot of people penalize guys that play at Coors Field. Right or wrong, they do it. They could probably do it here with Arenado from an MVP standpoint. You know, a couple of names that I like here. I like Paul Goldschmidt at around 15-1. He'll be a key cog in that Cardinals lineup. You know, he gets away from the humidor in Arizona, and you know, I think that should help his offensive numbers overall. I think that, you know, you'll get Colorado. Nolan Arenado's teammate, Trevor Story, last year, cut his strikeout rate down a bunch. He was a 30-30 player from a home run and stolen base standpoint. You know, a guy that I think is just kind of growing into his game a little bit. And if he does keep that strikeout rate a little bit lower this year, he's got a chance to be one of those 40-30 guys like J-Ram that I just mentioned. So only 37 guys have hit 40 home runs in a year since 2010. I think Story's got a chance to do it. And he plays that premier shortstop defensive position that, you know, maybe gets him a little bit of a nod over his teammate.
I personally love Goldschmidt at 15-1. That was my favorite of the guys that you mentioned for sure. Adam, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time very much. Next week, we'll get pretty deep into the conference tournaments as we really approach the heart of March Madness, which, believe it or not, begins 2 weeks from yesterday. As always, we appreciate the time, my friend, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Take care, Andy.
Thanks, Adam. Again, Adam Burke with bangthebook.com and Bang the Book Radio. Look, if you're into the handicapping scene, you need to head to bangthebook.com. Adam does sensational work, not only with Major League Baseball, but all sports across the board. So if you're looking for handicapping advice, that is a wonderful place for you to go. All right, we need to step aside and get to a break as we approach the end of the first hour of today's show. Coming up here in just a few minutes, Matt Douglas will update us on the local news. And then at 4:10,